This episode of TMS is brought to you in part by Squarespace.com, where you can build a fantastic portfolio, blog, site to sell stuff, whatever you need. Looks great on mobile, many templates to choose from, with a free trial that doesn't even require a credit card. If you like what you see, check out with the code MORNING and save 10% on your order at Squarespace.com. And by patrons like you. Go to patreon.com/TMS and support the show. Coming up on TMS, YouTube sticks it to the little guy.
They stabbed me, Link. They stabbed me with a sword.
Spider-Man is in huge trouble.
Game of Thrones season finale broke some nefarious records.
Justin Bieber is off the hook for at least one of his bad decisions.
Therapy Thursday.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Stick shifters, get them in gear. Gonna move out, baby. Gonna disappear.
Stick shifters. You handle the stick shift. Put them in.
Hey!
Shifters, get them in gear, gonna make a wheelie, gonna disappear.
Stick shifters, with four on the floor stick shift consoles. New from Hasbro.
Like taking a girl dancing or to the movies.
The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream.
I'm not angry. I'm passionate. Duh.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream. It's TMS for Thursday, June 19th, 2014. I am a zombie. Hello, aww. Brian. How are you this morning?
The Walking Scott.
Kind of.
How are you doing?
I am the Walking Scott. So you may have noticed, listeners at home, there was no show yesterday. I had to start a new regimen, a.k.a. course of antibiotics yesterday. Or I guess it was the day before that I started taking them. But anyway, ye old diverticulitis kicked in again. And kind of hardcore-like. So I don't know what's worse, though. I think these antibiotics might be worse.
It's like the cure is worse than the disease.
Yeah, it's like they got to make you sicker to feel better. It's just the worst. I mean, they're so hardcore, and you got to take so many per day for 10 straight days. They just mess you up, and I feel like I've got like the worst flu, just achy, kind of fevery. It's awful. I hate it.
So it's like it's a medicine that you just take for kind of an intense week and a half, basically.
Yeah.
And then you go back to,
normal. No, just normal after that, which is interesting to say because it takes about another week to just recover. Then it's nerdacular.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, timing is fairly fortunate on this one.
Yeah, or I mean, I don't know. Maybe I wish it would have happened a month earlier, but.
Well, yeah, you don't want this like during your kind of final stretch prep time.
Yeah, it's hard because it makes you never want to eat again when you're on these pills, but I have to eat or else it makes me feel worse. So it's awful. I don't wish this. I have some people in this world who have wronged me. I do not wish this on them. I really don't. It's awful.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that just speaks to how nice you are. I'm sure the average person would probably wish what you're going through on, I don't know, the Subaru driver in front of them on a daily basis.
Yeah, that's a good point. That guy, he's the worst.
Guy. Oh, so we all know that guy.
I'm going to attempt to do as normal as I can today. If I seem out of it, I apologize to listeners at home. It's not my intent. It's not my usual thing. Brian will pick up all slack because that's what he does.
That's right.
And, you know, if I have to take any mid-show breaks, I'll let you know. We'll edit it out for the home listeners.
I've got to put my headphones down and go throw up.
Exactly. I mean, it is kind of that thing where I constantly feel like I'm going to yak, but I'm not going to.
It's nauseous, right, a nauseous.
Yeah, and that's an awful feeling.
Oh, sucks.
You know? Ugh. And I get just clammy and I'm pale. I look like shit in the mirror. I don't know, man. It's not good.
It's like that. It's that. And we talked about this before, not knowing. Well, I couldn't remember what the name of it is, but in space, it's that location where you're being pulled by gravity from one source and also from another to the point where you're standing still. And one, you know, half a mile in either direction, you'll get pulled into whatever. other thing is pulling you.
Yeah, I agree with
this. You're
analogy.
Kind of stuck in this limbo thing that you're not. Yep. You're not throwing up to the point you feel better. You're not.
Yeah, I can't even do that.
Right. It's
I
not
can't even go yak to go.
Better.
Oh, phew! I feel so much better now that I've barfed. I can't even do that.
You just want it to move in one direction or another.
Yeah, I have no energy. I have so much to do. It just sucks. So I'm not gonna bore people with it for the rest of the show. But just so you know up front here, this is not your usual Scott here. I just really didn't want to miss another show. Like that was my main thing. So I just did not want to push TMS because you know we have a commitment. We like to not miss when we know sometimes health matters and you do what you got to do. And yesterday was a complete mess, so you wouldn't have wanted me on here. But
yeah,
you know, I guess there's some
your health comes first, and if there's people out there who don't agree, then, who feel like you know, no matter how sick you are, you should be doing a show. Then hey, go listen to No Agenda.
Yeah,
they got
stuff to talk about.
That's right.
We like those guys.
The Morning Stream.
Right, and they like us clearly.
Dvorak likes us.
Another note, don't bring booze to Snowbird. All right, moving on. Let's see. don't bring fireworks either.
Right, or hookers or meth.
Brian, I got a question for you. You're a guy with a finger on the pulse of independent music and artists.
I have a finger up the pulse.
While it is often, you know, covers and stuff, you still seem like you're kind of in the know when it comes to...
Yeah, I've got to be. Yeah. I mean, you kind of get that just tangentially, right? I mean, because there are a few bands out there that just do covers, but then there are other ones who do a cover, but you still are in tune with that band.
Yeah, and you're also a big promoter and proponent of people doing indie work. And
oh, of course.
Lots of, you know, ways on the internet for people to get their work out there, be it iTunes and Amazon MP3 or lesser, more independent-focused things like Bandcamp or whatever.
Mm-hmm. SoundCloud.
Yeah. And one of the great... Yeah, SoundCloud's awesome for this stuff. Mm-hmm. One of the great venues for showcasing new talent when it comes to independent work has always been, and many would think would always be, YouTube, right? YouTube is a great place to do your video, to be your next pamplemousse, whatever, right?
It's the de facto standard. I mean, basically, you know, you may have your stuff on Vimeo, you may have your stuff on, I can't think of one of these other smaller...
We'll call it Daily Motion. How about them?
Daily Motion is another good one, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But chances are, if you're going to get some good exposure, you need to be on YouTube.
Yeah, Break TV used to be for kicking people in the nuts. Now it's all boobs.
Right, it's exactly. It's like it's basically Tosh.0, well, Tosh 1.0.
Mm-hmm. Totally. I can't figure that side out and what they want to do. I don't know what their long-term goal is.
Right.
At any rate, some bad news, apparently, at least it would seem so from the YouTube front, and this has got a lot of indies really upset and freaking out. YouTube will block videos from artists who don't sign up for its paid streaming service. So here's the quote.
Crazy.
As YouTube prepares to roll out an ad-free streaming music service, all right, so they're going to get into that whole business.
Like the whole Pandora, well, kind of the video Pandora, basically.
Yeah, I assume it's not just audio, right?
Yeah, it's going to be video as well.
Okay. It will block videos from indie artists who don't sign up for its new offering, as originally reported by the Financial Times. YouTube has signed deals with major labels and is explicitly threatening to block artists from using the entire YouTube platform, free or paid, if they do not agree to the terms of the new streaming service. Robert, I don't know how you say that guy's last name. How would you say that guy's last names? K-Y-N-C-L. How would you say
Kinky,
that?
Or Kinkle.
Kinkle?
Is that an L or an I?
I think it's an L.
Yeah, Kinkle. Robert Kinkle.
Kinkle? Isn't that a thing you get if you're pregnant in 8 months and you get kinkles? Or that's the thing you work out in your crotch or something?
I think that's the thing that you just can't get rid of once you get it.
Okay.
Anytime you get a cold, you get a kinkle.
Oh, you get a little kinkle. Okay. All right. YouTube's head of content is who this guy is in business operations, confirming that the service plans to block videos from any artists or labels who have not signed on to this new paid service to ensure that all content on the platform is governed by the new contractual terms. What this means is, you know, quite possibly the pamplemousses of the world will be fine.
I don't know.
They're big enough, maybe. I don't know. I guess that's a good question.
Yeah, they're not on a major label. I mean, that's basically what this is. It's YouTube saying, hey, major labels, Warner Brothers, Universal, Sony, we want to work with you. And if you're an artist who's not on one of those labels, you're going to be screwed. I think Pamplemousse actually is going to get the shaft because of this, because they're not on a major label.
Well, they have to sign. So they can still sign up. The deal is they can still sign on, but they have to agree to all these stipulations, and one of them affects cover artists. So if you, here's a good example. Let's say you're the new Beef Seeds. You get this great idea for a cover and you're going to do it today. Mm-hmm. You put that video up on YouTube. In the past, it was like, whoa, awesome, new band, innovative platform. This is a great way to discover people. Then they can grow, and then maybe they will get a major label one day, whatever. What happens now is, after this is put into place, you're banned from the service mm-hmm. if you do that.
Right.
That seems crazy to me.
Yeah, see, and from what I was reading, it was only, I didn't read about that indie artists would have the option to sign up, because I heard, Jack White isn't on a major label. Adele isn't on a major label represented here in the U.S.
Yeah.
So, here are two big artists that people watch a lot of videos for on YouTube, and potentially they could get pulled. And I think...
That's a lot of musicians, dude.
It is. Oh, it's a ton. And it's, great folks like Scott Bradley and Postmodern Jukebox, Pomplamoose, we talked about. I think more bands are going to be affected by this than we realize, because, again, from what I was reading, it is right now just going to be limited to those major labels. I did not see a way for an indie artist to sign up.
Okay.
Unless they're a part of a major label, although that is the subhead for this headline. It says artists who don't sign up, but I think you have to be part of a major label to be signed up.
Well, that would be a key point. But even if it's not, whether it is or isn't, I feel like mm-hmm. this is so seismically shifty that they're going to back off. Like, I don't know how you do this and retain what, I mean, this is, okay, so somebody was just telling me the other week, or somebody was just commenting, and I can't remember where I heard this or watched this, but somebody was saying, isn't it great that when Google bought YouTube, everybody thought, oh, that's going to be bad for YouTube. Mm-hmm. They're going to corporatify mm-hmm. that thing and whatever. And YouTube, they've been good stewards. They bought it. They expanded it. They took what worked and made it better. When things like copyright infringement did arise, they dealt with it in a way that was both good for the artist and the people getting, potentially not shut down, but, your song's not available in this country because this song's not licensed there or whatever, Mm-hmm. So they've got these things in place that seem to benefit everybody. People get protected. People can be innovative. They can do cool stuff. This should send a chill. Like, if you're making if you're playing video games, let's say you're trying to be like, what's his name? The PewDiePie, right?
Oh,
or the Yogscast or somebody. Let's say you're trying to be that guy. What is to stop YouTube from one day having a video game streaming service that is more intensive, that is a deal you sign with EA, Activision, Nintendo, Sony, and Microsoft? And if you're not willing to sign up for them and give them half of your ad revenue money, suddenly PewDiePie's out of business.
Yeah, right.
Because you're getting cut from the channel. Like, I don't see them ever going that far. I can't see them going that far with this. Like, this feels crazy to me. It feels like this is the thing everyone feared, that Google would lose sight of what this thing...
What YouTube is for.
What it's for, right? Or what it can produce or how it has produced. It's like it's almost like it's gotten so big that they're sitting around in a meeting going, now we can do this. Now we can get away with this because it's so big. What's going to, nothing will stop us now. There's plenty of cat videos. Keep everybody happy. I don't know. It's obviously not that simple, but...
Right. No, it's ridiculous because it seems like YouTube does make money hand over fist with their advertising, the forced ads that you have to see before some videos that you want to watch, or the bottom third ads that come up, things like that. Why do they need to do this? Why do they need to have a streaming music and video service? It does seem like it kind of goes against what their initial goal was.
Well, I think it's just the world.
I guess their initial goal was to make money.
Well, right. But I just feel like the whole world right now is in this mode of everybody needs to have the new hot business is streaming everything. So everybody get on board. Netflix and Pandora have proven those two models, one for video, one for audio. Now let's have everyone else do it. Mm-hmm. Let's all get in. Let's all get in the pool. And YouTube's like, well, what about us? Google doesn't want to be left behind, so they're leveraging the properties where it makes the most sense. Tom Mayer probably had a lot to say about this. But
I bet he would, yeah. But this will be covered very thoroughly on DTNS.
Yeah, which will be today sometime.
Yeah.
I'm sad we missed him yesterday, although this hadn't really broken yesterday, so it wouldn't have mattered. Mm-hmm. I mean, we would have had something else great to talk about.
Right, he would have wanted to talk about the Redskins.
Yeah, it is known. It is known. Oh, yeah, that Redskins deal.
Right.
That, ooh, I didn't put that in the notes. I forgot to put that in there. So... No more Redskins.
Right.
Yeah. Right? That's it.
Right. Washington Redskins are no longer. And I guess they're trying to come up with a new name. And my vote, as shown by the shirt I'm wearing today, is the Washington Redshirts.
Let's see. The Redshirts is pretty good.
Yeah.
Both these deemed... I'm trying to find it here. If there's any news about this since yesterday.
Actually, DTNS, Tom did cover this yesterday. He did cover
it. Oh, I guess it happened. Yeah, it happened later in the day, so that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I can't find the Redskins article. I want to see if anything's of note this morning. Okay, they had their trademark revoked. Here it is. A trademark revoked. U.S. Patent and Trademark Office calls the name disparaging. Now they call it that. Mm-hmm. The Redskins say they will fight the ruling as they did in 1992, and they won then, by the way, which will extend the trademark's protection. But lawmakers and online comments have called for the franchise to change its damn name finally. Washington Redskins' controversial name could be a step closer to getting sacked.
So it's not a done deal yet, and Zalazi points out in the chat room that they're still the Redskins. They're going to be in the courts for a while. So
it's pretty racist. You know, it really is.
The Washington cigar salesman.
Yeah. Why not do that? But like Redskins, it's always been it's a pretty racist thing. It's like saying, if you were the, I don't know, the Cincinnati black people, how would that go over?
Well, are you offended if somebody called you a white skin? Would you be offended by that?
No, because I'm in the majority and I've never been oppressed by another majority
white
race.
Yes. Yeah. Right. okay.
You know what
Wendy's
I mean?
Wendy's taught us well.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, I'm not suddenly getting on a pedestal here and going, about this Redskins thing? But
it does stem from a time. I'm saying that it stems from a time when that term was used derogatorily. Mm-hmm. However, the term itself isn't a derogatory term. It's when it's used as an insult, when it's used as a racial slur, then it is offensive and then it is inappropriate.
Yeah. Or it's like saying, I don't
Washington
know,
crackers would be fine with
it's like
me.
Boiling women down to boob havers. You know what I mean? vagina possessors.
Vagina possessors.
Yeah, it's like, well, you've boiled down a race of people to the color, the misappropriation of the color of their skin. I don't know. It seems like it's not like I'm calling, you know, let's not pitchfork everybody. We've had it for a while. We've known for a while that it's a little iffy. But here's your chance to say, you know, maybe we ought to change it. It's just football, guys. I understand your fans and whatever. And by the way, when's the last time the Redskins did anything great? I'm just saying. But my main point is, why don't we just, it's okay. Tradition, some traditions can die. It's not a big deal. Just call them the, I don't know. I mean, what happened? The Oilers used to be, the Oilers had fans. They're now the Tennessee, whatever. Are they the Titans now? Or are they the Texans again? Or whoever the hell they are. The Oilers have gone through like three changes.
Oh yeah, right, and it's fine. They were fine from it. Lou in the Tadpool is 100% Native American. He finds the name very disparaging and thinks they should be forced to change the name.
Yeah,
so.
Of course. I mean, I don't know if anyone should be forced to do anything, but I think they should do the right thing and change it.
Right, agreed.
That's all I'm saying. I'm not even. That's the thing is, I'm not calling for some regulatory committee to go, you need to change it. I mean, it is in the purview of the patent office to say no, you can't have the name again, and that's fine because that's where they're applying to have it, you know, solidified. So if they want to say no, they can. But I'm saying, hey, team, why don't you do the right thing? Why don't you stand up and say no more Redskins? How about that? You know.
Right.
Washington boob havers. Let's do it.
Come on, red shirts. Washington red shirts.
All right. Red shirts. That's actually not bad. Because Red Sox. No, wait. There's already Red Sox.
There's already Red Sox.
Yeah, red shirts.
Pants.
Red pants. Old running red pants there.
Red pants.
All right. Well, this has all been very controversial at the top of the show.
Yeah. To help, because here's a person who's got some experience in team naming, at least some family experience.
Yeah. He may not live in D.C., but he lives in Washington State. So there's some connection there, at least by name.
Did you see the list that he sent? That it was the article from the Seattle Times that showed the 158 people, whoever, who suggested the name the Seahawks.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But then off to the other side, they showed all the other names that people recommended or suggested when they were coming up with the name the Seahawks.
Yeah, they were great. Some of those should stick. Give me an example of your favorite. Do you have a favorite?
I've got to pull it up because it was so funny.
I'll play this first.
Okay.
It's Stump a Trek Nerd, brought to you by...
Did you check out CyclopsComics.com last week? Well, guess what? There's a new chapter up. Find out why Cyclops was exiled to the bottom of the sea in this week's comic. Then like Cyclops on Facebook. Find the comic at SEAClops, C-L-O-P-S, comics.com.
Nice. Did you find that list?
I'm looking right now. I Daryl, was in the wrong there, search.
Daryl, you with us? You here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, man. What's going on?
Hey, Daryl. Got some other names? Oh, yeah. The Apple Knockers.
Apple Knockers.
The Diarrheas. So it would have been Seattle Diarrheas.
Wow.
Or the Peckerwoods was another one that I thought was interesting.
The so there's this article on.
Yeah. So it's an article about the Seahawks that Daryl sent us, talking about how in 1975 they needed to come up with a new name. And Daryl's dad rose to the occasion and suggested the Seahawks, along with a few other people, but still. All they got was a certificate and a pair of tickets to the next game.
Wow.
Which was a total gyp.
That is a gyp.
Yeah.
No offense, gypsies, but yes, right. Total gyp.
Right, sorry.
I don't know how many gypsies listen to
this. On our way to the sanitization of the America.
That's right. Look at us catching every word we say and saying, what? That's offensive. Anyway.
But some of the other names, it's funny, and they list all these other names like the anchovies. The About Timers.
Wow.
The Bumbershoots. That's a good one, actually. The it's the umbrella, a term for an umbrella, right?
The Bumbershoot? Really?
Bumbershoots, yeah.
It's raining outside. Grab my Bumbershoot?
Grab my Bumbershoot. There's a festival every year in Seattle called the Bumbershoot Festival.
Why don't they? Mm-hmm. Why didn't that stick? I'd prefer that over umbrella. Bumbershoot.
oot. The Cumulonimbos. The Chowderheads, the Seattle Chowderheads would have been great. The Ding Dongs.
What?
Can't imagine that one. Wouldn't,
yeah, the Seattle Ding Dongs. Yeah.
The Flying Wedgies.
The Flying Wedgies.
The Flying Wedgies.
Okay. Jeez, what the hell's going on up there?
Halibut Heads.
Uh-huh.
Somebody actually suggested the name Herman's Hermits.
Oh, okay. Because that doesn't already assign to something else, like a band or something.
The Identified Flying Objects.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Why did they entertain
the microwaves? The Seattle microwaves.
Okay, great.
Nanooks.
We're gonna cook you in 3 minutes or less. Other rival team.
Wow. The Pike Street Misfits.
Great. Great. All of these.
Sorry, you
great.
Can't be in the NFL anymore. Your name is just ridiculous.
The Washington Pike Street Misfits. That you can't even. That's terrible.
Yeah. Oh, it's horrible.
Daryl, what would you call the Redskins? What's your alternate name?
Potato skins.
All right, the potato skin. Oh, just keep skins. I like it. TGIF,
no
man.
Kidding. All these people are all focused on keeping the word red. I say, yeah, Daryl's right. Drop the word red and make it the potato skins.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Or other skins. Like, what are some other skins? Like, how about just the skins? How about that? The Washington skins.
That probably not enough. That probably wouldn't be enough because I remember there was a controversy with an Arvada high school football team that were known as the Redskins. My alma mater, my Arvada High School mascot was the Redskins, and they changed it to red, and that wasn't enough for people.
Yeah, but skins you could do, and get rid of the face.
The skins.
Just call it the skins.
The Washington skins.
And just have a picture.
The foreskins.
Yeah, the foreskins.
I think Viking Lass can get behind that one.
Yeah, she knows all about keeping somebody's foreskin around. Long story. Go back and listen to old episodes.
The
all right.
White Roosters. The Washington, or the Seattle White Roosters.
There you go. White Roosters. The White Cocks. All right. Daryl, it's good to have you back on to do a little Star Trek trivia, and I think I can probably get through reading your question here because it's still Picard week. We missed one yesterday. If you get lucky, this will be a perfect week for you. I have no doubt that you will. Once again, it involves a video, which will make no sense, but we'll get to that in a minute. let's start with a question. Picard likes occasionally to punch people in the face. One time, some terrorist beamed onto the bridge of the Enterprise. Picard, like the badass he is, punched one of them right in the face like a boss. In what episode does Picard do this? I think Mike might be drinking while he's making questions this week.
Like a boss.
Like a boss. The episodes in question are either A, The Enemy, B, Booby Trap, C, The High Ground, or D, Allegiance. So it's The Enemy, Booby Trap, The High Ground, Allegiance. You guys are going to eat taffy because I the sure as hell am not today.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
All right. Pick a taffy. Go for it. This sounds horrible to me right now.
Okay.
You know, it's 2014. They ought to have an antibiotic that doesn't make me feel sick all day for 10 days, you know?
Well, we just, you know, we all pitch in at Snowbird and get you some sort of sedation. And we remove that chunk, the offending chunk
of colon,
intestine from your system. We'll just do it right there.
All right. I trust all of you with that.
We'll all pull together as a team.
Get a rusty old pair of knives. Give it to beardy Justin Robert Young over there.
Right. Because, you know what team stands for. Together, everyone achieves more.
See? There's no I in spleen. All right. Daryl, what do you got?
Okay.
What'd you pick? What'd you get?
There's no I in intestine.
Yeah, exactly.
I picked a black one in your honor because it's probably this horrible licorice.
Oh,
racist.
No, I've got one of those in there somewhere. I've got yellow.
Brian likes licorice, so the guy who doesn't. Daryl and I.
Oh, yeah. It smells like it. I'm throwing it straight in the garbage.
Yeah, don't eat it. Oh, wow.
Wow.
Sound like a cartoon spittoon there. like the bulldog in the Droopy cartoon just spat in a tub or something. That's great.
You don't have a plastic bag in your garbage can?
Well, there is. It's really thin, though.
Wow.
Okay, I'm picking a new one. This one is orange with white swirls. It looks really pretty. Mm-hmm.
But that's Dreamsicle.
Probably is. I think we had that one. Didn't we have that one, Brian? I think we did.
It's really chewy.
Yeah.
Oh, yum. Yeah.
That was my chewing. All right, Brian, what'd you pick?
I had lemon.
Oh, lemon. I love lemon.
Mm-hmm.
It's lemon.
Very good.
By the way, Tracy Morgan doing better. The latest news is that he's been upgraded to what was it before? What are the classifications, like intense?
Critical
condition. Yes, critical to stable. And is responding to a lot of stuff and is doing lots better.
Good.
So
good.
Yeah. We like this.
I don't like the ER.
Yeah, I don't like anything to do with any of that.
Because I just was there last night with the little...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. Why? What happened?
You had a little girl with a bead up her nose, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
A bead? She snorted or put it in there or what happened?
Yeah, during her nap, I guess she thought, my bracelet broke and here's a bunch of beads. I wonder if this will fit in my nose. And shoved it up there. So then I got a call from the daycare to come get her because she had a bead stuck up her nose. So I took her to the ER and I thought they would suck it out or take forceps and stick it in there and pull it out. But they had this little, like a syringe thing with a balloon, little tiny balloon on the end that they stick in there and inflate and pull it out. So they tried that and it didn't come out with the balloon.
Ugh.
So I think what they did is they pushed it either further back went down her throat. So she either
probably swallowed it
swallowed it, or it could have gone into her lungs. So they did a chest x-ray to see if it was in her lungs, and nothing showed up there.
Oh, good.
So today we have to take her to a ear, nose, and throat person. So they're going to stick a camera in her nose cavity and look around in her nasal passages to see if it's still in there.
Beads, God. Beads are the worst for kids.
Yeah.
They get a hold of
them. Also,
that's bad.
We also have to check her poop.
Yeah, always check her poop. Constant check the poop.
Oh, it just gets better and better, doesn't it?
Yeah. Digging through the poop. So we had this happen with Taylor when she was little. She was maybe 3, and she ate one of Kim's earrings. And they were worried that thing was going to get stuck someplace because it has, the big poker on it. And so we had to dig through her poop for 2 weeks. And we got it. We found it. one of those days we got lucky. We found loot at the end of that tunnel. But then... there was another time that I may have told the story before, but Gerber ships their dry baby food that you mix and make like oatmeal and stuff out of.
Yeah.
They ship it in this plastic wrap on the box that is like, I don't even know how to explain it. It has the consistency of like, it's super sharp and hard and stiff, which seems crazy that it's wrapped around a baby product because if a kid gets a hold of any of that, horrible choking hazard.
Right.
So she got a hold of a chunk of it and ate it and started choking and couldn't breathe. And so we had to, I grab her. I've got her kind of upside down. She's bleeding from her throat, but we can't get it out. They call 911. It just so happens a cop, an ambulance, and a fire truck were all in the area. So they all stopped at my parents' house. This is back in like the 90s. Mm-hmm. All stopped at my parents' house where we were. come barreling in there with a stretcher and like all this stuff, and everyone's freaking out. She still isn't breathing. She's kind of blue in the face. And right the minute they burst in the room, I poked down her throat because I've been trying to get it. And I feel it, and I tap it, and then it disappears. She swallows it, sits up, smiles, and everybody's fine.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, so those guys came. I mean, they checked her and made sure everything was okay. Yeah. But and then that was a rough thing to pass. Oh, my gosh. But yeah, Gerber, what the hell are you doing, Gerber? That stuff was it was like razor wire. It was awful. Anyway, back to the point here. I'm glad she's okay. So she's okay? How is she? I mean, she's okay.
Oh, yeah. She's just fine, like nothing ever happened.
Yeah, like kids do.
Still a mystery where that bead went.
Kids bounce back, man. I wish I was a kid. All right. If I was a kid, I'd quit eating crap my whole life, and then I would have less.
Then you'd be fine.
Yeah, right? I wouldn't have this stupid thing going on. All right. So, Daryl, back to the damn question here. No, wait. Birthday. Who's having a birthday?
That would be, oh, I don't like this guy's last name. It's spelled differently, but Ryan Spahn.
Ryan Spahn.
S-P-A-H-N.
That was my favorite 70s thoughtful drama. Ryan Spahn. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. That was Brian's song. Got that all mixed up.
Oh, I thought you were thinking Ryan's Hope.
Oh, Ryan's Hope. Oh, yeah. That was a wasn't that a thing? It was one of my mother.
The soap opera.
Yeah, one of my grandma's programs that she used to refer to them as.
My stories.
My stories.
You got to watch my stories.
Turn on my programs. All right. That's good. Happy birthday to, who was it? I forgot already.
Ryan Spahn.
Oh, yeah, that guy. Sorry.
He's 34.
I really am.
Yeah. Why did I write this? Oh, well, he was in Voyage. Oh, first. No, what? What did I write that for? I wrote the word first.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means. First. And then Voyager Collective. So he was in the episode Collective.
Maybe the first
season, maybe?
Oh, first season. Probably that.
Oh, sure.
I don't know. I don't know anything.
Yeah, the guy at, so I went to the Apple store because I was having problem on-off button on my iPhone.
Yeah.
Long story short, they gave me a loaner.
Oh,
great.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, they fix it. Yeah. I go from 32 gigs of stuff down to 16. So yeah. all my apps are grayscale or darkened right now. But anyway, the guy sees my shirt because I'm wearing my Star Trek red shirt like I am right now. Mm-hmm. And he sees my shirt and says, oh, dude, Star Trek, man. I love Star Trek. And I said, oh, yeah, you're Star Trek fan. He's like, yeah. So are you a Next Generation watcher or do you prefer original series? I said, oh, you know, I'm more of a Next Generation fan. He says, yeah, I've been watching all the original series on Netflix, man. I love that. Mm. And I said, oh, it's funny. Actually, I just finished binge watching all of Deep Space Nine. He goes, what's Deep Space Nine?
Oh, my gosh. He doesn't even know that. That means he doesn't know what Voyager is.
No, it exists. Exactly.
Wow.
So I just said, well, it's another Star Trek show that was after the Next Generation. Even, you know, Worf and O'Brien are even in there.
Speaking of, so you just reminded me of something. I was watching Orange is the New Black. Kim and I had to catch up on the first season.
Yeah.
And we did. So we're ready for the second now. But really like Janeway in it. She's awesome. What a great character.
Great.
But it got me to thinking that show. Why does every dude in it have to be a absolute jerk, butthole, douche, ass face? There are no positive male anybody in that show.
The younger guard is kind of nice.
He's kind of nice, but he's kind of not.
The one that impregnated Della?
Yeah, but he's... But even... He's not either. He's maybe the least offensive.
Right.
But everyone's terrible. All
right.
of those
it's true.
Men.
Actually, it's true.
Even when they introduce a new female person, the new female guard, for example...
Right.
She's wonderful and nice and kind, unlike all the douches she works with. And the women who've committed these horrible crimes are far more sympathetic than any of the men in the movie. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's the point. I don't go to this looking for strong male role models, but it's really, really one-sided on that show. Like, the men are terrible.
Got something. I think there's something to that, because it's true. I mean, even Jason Biggs is a dick.
He is.
Of course, you know, porn stash.
He is the worst.
He is the worst.
He cracks me up every time he just stares at the camera.
Every time he's on screen, he is hilarious.
He's funny, but he's also awful. Like, they're just awful. And the one guy you thought you have some sympathy for, like the head counselor guy.
Healy. Yeah,
he's
Healy.
Terrible. Mm. Or at least he is by the end of the season. I don't know how things go in the next one, but.
Yeah.
I there's no men to be found that are worth anything in that show at all. And I guess maybe that's fine. We certainly have many shows that treat women badly. I'm not saying we're about right. due. We're probably
it's about our, time. Yeah, yes, exactly.
We're about due. But anyway, all right. So back to the question, Daryl. What do you say about this here episode with Picard punching a dude? Was it the enemy? Was it the booby trap? Was it the high ground? Or was it allegiance?
I would hate to be stuck in a booby trap.
I know. Well,
well, it depends. I complain.
Depends.
You wouldn't want your boobies trapped in there.
No. Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, you don't want that.
Okay.
But a trap made of boobies.
Ah, now you got something.
Okay. Got punched in the... Or no, he punched somebody in the face.
Yes. A terrorist.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
Punch me in the face.
Punch me in the face, Mal.
Well, I'm going to have to do a guess. I don't remember when he punches people in the face.
It's pretty rare. I don't think it happened a lot, but...
Yeah. I'm going to say Allegiance because that's an organization that George Takei is involved with, and he probably punches people in the face, too.
All right, well, let's find out if you're right. Is it Allegiance based on this absolutely weird criteria of picking an answer? Is it? It's the high ground. That's all right. It was a nice, it's a good thing that he's in. So you've done some good in the world, but also got the question wrong. The high ground is the answer. He punches the terrorist in the face. Dr. Crusher is cap-tired by terrorists in this episode.
Cap-tired.
He wrote cap-tired. Here, she's tired of the captain. That's short for that. Here's a video of Picard laying some smack down on this punk-ass terrorist, he says. Fast forward to around the 16-second mark. All right. So we're going to get more total visual that has nothing to do with anything. Hold on. Why is that not? Okay. Oh, it's so quiet. Yeah, you can't hear it.
It's super quiet. Yeah.
Bad pick, Mike.
Can you act it out for us?
Yeah, guy beams in, Picard rears back, punches him in the face, none's the wiser. There you go. Daryl, way to go.
That's better than any audio could have been.
I'm really glad this week is ending because the video clip sucked and Daryl's question got ruined today. So there you go.
I wanted you to mime that for us.
No way. I don't have the energy, man. I can barely move. So forget it. Forget it. You're not getting anything. That's going to do it for this segment. And Daryl is the Trek Nerd on Twitter. Follow him there. He's also part of This Week in Trek and the Grumpy Cast. You can catch both those shows on iTunes, wherever podcasts are delivered. Daryl, why don't we play a game with you now? Title what?
Okay, this is unknown because the computer was in screensaver mode, so now I have to get out of it and find what I'm doing. Right. Is this a Star Trek?
A floating Quicks-like object or a bunch of pipes?
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that one.
You like that one?
Okay. Anyway. Well,
write that down for later. You can have it.
Yeah. Star Trek jewelry or type of wood?
Here's the thing.
Specific
Star Trek jewelry or type of wood?
Type of wood.
Okay.
Surax.
Surax.
Surax. Can you spell that one, sir?
Surax.
Surax of House Tyrell entered the room in his white cloak and his ceramic chainmail. Sounds like somebody out of that book.
Yeah.
Surax.
I'm leaning this one also as a kind of wood as opposed to jewelry.
I agree.
Because I don't see Beverly Crusher saying, oh, check out this beautiful Surax I got on QVC.
Yeah, I agree. Yes, I agree with that. I think it's going to, I'm going to lean toward wood as well.
Well, she might not have gotten it from QVC, but she did get it from DS9.
Damn it. DS9, big dumb station floating out in space. Who needs it anyway?
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news.
And it's brought to you by Investing Ideas, a closed group Facebook page where you can share research and ask questions. Whether you're new to investing and need help getting started, or experienced and want a second opinion on a stock pick, just search Facebook for Investing Ideas and request to join today.
A man stabbed with a Legend of Zelda's Master Sword is in serious condition.
Wow.
Got this from a listener who said, you have to talk about this. And I said, all right. I was going to do it yesterday, but missed the show.
Did he hold up the sword afterwards and go,
that'd be great, right? Like he just got it and it's floating above him in a kind of a weird axis. Few could doubt the power of the Master Sword. Not only has it defeated countless incarnations of Ganondorf in the Legend of Zelda series, but now it has hospitalized a Texan. A man was stabbed with the point of a replica of the legendary sword during a domestic dispute in the city of Katy. Katy? Katy.
Katy. Yep, I know where Katy, Texas is.
K-A-T-Y.
It's near Houston, if I remember correctly. Like, just on the out... It's like a suburb of Houston.
Oh, all right. Seems nice. Seems like a place you might find a replica Zelda sword with.
Yeah, that's they have... They're all there. The streets are flowing with replica swords.
They don't know what to do with them all. It was only a matter of time before someone got stabbed with one.
Rampant. Everywhere you go, right next to the McDonald's, is a Zelda replica sword store.
Well, I like it. Stored sore.
Stored sore.
Eugene Thompson told police how his girlfriend called her ex-husband to help after they got into an argument, with Thompson drawing the sword as a means of defense. Thompson says this. I pulled it out.
Your ex-wife is in another castle.
Yeah, exactly.
I know, that's a wrong
different game, but I think it was relevant. I think you're
okay,
fine.
Good.
Yeah. But the disclaimer is good too, because then people slow down their typing. It's fine, right, guys. Right. We know. He pulled it out. He says, I pulled it out and stood in the doorway, and he was just coming down that hall at me while I was yelling, "Go away, I don't live here." Or you don't live here. Sorry. Yeah. That'd be even better. Go away, I don't live here.
Your ex-husband, he's approaching.
He just walked right...
Damn it, my boomerang!
He walked right into the point.
My hook shot.
He says, I don't know, I think he thought it was a toy. So he may have thought it was just some rubber.
Wow, so he kept charging and...
Mm-hmm. He's the one that ran into it.
Kind of ran into the sword, so really, whose fault is it?
You ran into me with a sword, Mal. yeah, I don't know why you'd... I don't know what happened there. That seems like... I have a sword, okay, under my bed. Mm-hmm. It's a real one, like a big old, like great sword.
Broadsword, right, yeah.
Yeah, two-hander, man. And I always think, well, if I ever needed to pull that out and defend my land and my wife and my kids, that it would do a pretty good job of doing that. But when you actually think about what it would take to, like, strike somebody else down with a big sword, that's a pretty scary proposition.
It's more of a threat, you know? It's more of a, you hold it up like you mean to use it,
But to have to actually use it, ugh,
it's a lot of hacking. Yeah, would you swing it or would you stab it?
I think in this case I'd swing it because the edges are sharper than the point. I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. I hope I never have to use it.
Well, of course, yeah.
You know, like
Tristan's got a replica of Arya Stark's needle.
Oh, nice.
On his wall that I picked up at Comic-Con for him last year, and that's definitely more of a stabber than a swinger because it's the point is sharp, but the sides aren't sharp.
Well, if he ever needs to threaten a large, half-burnt-faced man...
Well, careful.
He can do it. There's no... Yeah.
That's true. All right, that's not a spoiler.
Not exactly.
No, you're right.
Kind of. And actually, you know what? Nobody would know unless they've seen it. Right? Right.
Sure.
You spoiled that what's her name? Aria. You've spoiled that she has a sword named Needle, so you're in more trouble than me.
Yeah, exactly. I've used exact.
Yeah.
Right.
Described like a hobo. Man who dressed as Spider-Man is on trial for hitting a woman in Times Square. Oh, good. Oh, you know these guys that want your picture and they're not really official. Yes. And Vegas is rife with them.
Vegas, I mean, Vegas is crawling with them and the situation is that they'll pose for a picture with you. And then if you try to walk away, oh no, that's $5. And they will follow you down the street, cursing at you.
Yeah. It's awful
to get that $5.
I've seen them do this. There's nothing quite like SpongeBob being threatening to some little right. kid and his
or a
mom.
Minion, a Despicable Me minion.
Yeah. It's bad. Like, and those guys, I've had the opportunity to walk past one in the heat of like August and have one of them like remove a head or, you know, unzip a little bit to smoke or whatever. Those people smell terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. And they just bake inside those costumes.
I don't know how they live in those costumes. I mean, I don't know.
A lot of them do live inside those costumes.
Damn. I guess so. Like, do you think if you have nowhere to go at the end of the day, do you think you just lay down in your big fluffy costume and sleep in it?
I think if it's a Despicable Me, you probably have some shelves in there. Like if you've got one of those big old minion costumes.
Yeah. You got a little black and white TV on one. And
a little mini fridge.
I like it. I like that a lot.
There's the guys dressed as Bumblebee too. And I'm sure that there's probably some, you know, there's probably booze hidden in some of the the rotating armature.
I figure that guy just transformed and drove to Mesquite where he lives. End of the day. See everybody.
Right.
Let's see. So this guy, One of the costume characters who roamed the Times Square street there went on trial Tuesday in New York over allegations that he hit a passerby who did not tip him for posing for the photo. There you go, right? In February of 2013, Victoria Gorlakapakachikachu says Philip Williams.
She just transformed too.
How do you say her name? What do you say there?
Gorachiak. Gorachiak.
Oh my gosh. You're good at this. Says Philip Williams.
I'm good at making up pronunciations of names that I've never seen before.
They seem plausible, though, you know? Like,
I say them with such conviction.
Yeah.
Oh, well, of course, that's Gorachiak.
I believe you. Philip Williams cursed at her and later punched her in the face after she confronted him and flung a handful of snow at him. Williams said as he just defended himself after the cold, hard chunk hit his head, is what he's claiming. While the stakes are serious, a potential criminal record and up to 90 days in jail for Williams if he's convicted of harassment and other charges, the proceedings have a touch of the surreal. The evidence includes a Spider-Man suit, and the questions include whether a costumed Batman had also been at the scene. Even Manhattan criminal court judge...
I didn't see anything.
I didn't see it. I live in Gotham. There is no New York in my universe.
I don't even know who this is.
I mean, it could be Chicago, because that's kind of what Gotham is, but we don't have real cities.
His punishment should be more severe.
More severe. Oh, by the way, he's in Band of Brothers. Bane is.
Tom Hardy?
Yeah. Skinny nice. Little guy. He wasn't anything like he is now. Little little twerpy dude. It was really weird.
Wow.
I'm telling you, that miniseries is crazy. He's in it.
Right. Okay.
Jimmy Fallon's in it. Bunch of people from West Wing are in it. See how I connected my two things I was talking about?
Yeah. Yes, right. Oddly, nobody from the Pacific is in
it. No. I guess not. Let's see. That's probably actually not true. There probably is.
Yeah, probably is. There'd have to be.
Yeah, there's so many. Let's see. What else? Manhattan criminal court judge Anthony Ferreira couldn't resist seeing a cartoon illusion as he described police apprehending Williams, age 36. So anyway, there you go. Batman, Superman.
See, I'm picturing him in court describing, and then she picked up a snow and thwack, hit him in the head.
Yeah, thwack.
And then he swung around and flip,
back. Whacked her with... That'd be great, right? What do you think, chum?
Pow!
HelloFresh.com sponsoring the show today. Well, you know, I do a little better when I get a little water in me. I got to tell you. I think these things kind of dehydrate is what happens.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Hey, they're back, everybody. Check them out.
Yay!
HelloFresh.com, making cooking fun again. For those who have not found fun in cooking in a while, that includes me. I don't like cooking. I'm not a big fan. But, and that's mostly because Kim does it. But these guys, they make it easy for me. They send these farm fresh ingredients to my door in 30 minutes or less. I can be the hero of the day and make something amazing. Oh, food sounds bad right now, but it will sound good to me in 10 days. Don't worry. I'll want to eat again. Go there. Check them out. If they are delivering in your area, you can save 50% off your first order. And that's by simply using the code MORNINGSTREAM. That's one word, MORNINGSTREAM at checkout for 50% off your first time at HelloFresh.com. Please go check them out. You won't regret it.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
It's Celebrity Poop, brought to you by
Film Sack, the podcast for movie lovers and haters. This week, we watched Popeye. Subscribe at filmsack.com.
Yeah, it sounds like some kind of lubricant.
Well, blow me down.
I like that movie. You did not like that movie.
Did not like that movie.
No.
It was, excruciating.
Sounds like some kind of lubricants.
Yeah, some kind of lubricants.
Sounds like some kind of lubricants.
Yeah, see?
You picked the only audio clip you could have gotten from that movie that didn't have 11 people all talking and mumbling at the same time.
That's a good point. You owe me an apology.
You owe me an apology.
All right, great. Remember that? What the hell was
that? Yes.
All right. Eat your spinach.
Eat your spinach, you no good infink.
Infink. All right.
Jeez.
Spicoli, why is there a pizza in my class? All right. We have some celebrity
You're
poo here.
So right, Spicoli. It is our time.
Hey, you do pretty good. That's a pretty good Ray Walston.
Seen that movie a lot.
Oh, wow.
I've never made an attempt to do a Spicoli before.
That was not bad. Game of Thrones season finale broke every piracy record that came before it, including its own. The Game of Thrones closed out the fourth season on Sunday with Skeleton Warriors, Sorcery, Dragons, and Murder. Is that a spoiler? Probably not.
No.
One thing it didn't have
was... dragons? What?
It didn't have any pirates.
Somebody died on Game of Thrones?
What was there boobs? Game of Thrones? What?
Actually, there weren't any boobs. No. There's a spoiler.
No boobs.
No boobs on the last two episodes.
Boob free. There was
HBO going bankrupt.
I'll say this without spoiling it. A character from Last Action Hero's junk may have been close to being exposed. We'll just say that. That's all I'll say about that. You know the one.
I know what you're talking about.
He had contacts, you know, with the smiley faces on him.
Yeah.
All right. So let's see. Those were in the real world, the pirates. According to the website Torrent Freak, the latest episode became the most pirated show on TV, surpassing the series' own record. In 12 hours following the show's Sunday night debut, 1.5 million people downloaded pirated versions of the episode through various sites. It's expected the number will grow to 7.5 million in the coming days and weeks. Mary McNamara. That's huge numbers, by the way. That's pushing toward like network television nightly view numbers.
Right.
And that has to scare somebody somewhere.
That has to tell somebody at HBO that, you know, maybe we should offer a subscription service.
Yep. Guarantee it would go down.
Easier for people. Yeah.
Guarantee it. I know a lot of people who pirate that show because they don't have any other way to do it except getting the full cable package and HBO and they don't want to do it.
Exactly.
So give them another option. In a weird way, though, I feel like HBO doesn't mind because this just means that I don't know. I feel like maybe the net gain for them is more subscribers, probably, because people get exposed to it more. I don't know. Maybe not. Who knows? Let's see. Mary McNamara, Patrick Kevin Day, and Alicia Banks discuss what might be happening again. Oh, what the hell am I reading that for? That was like some copy and paste out of that article.
Right.
Let's see. Torrent Freak also found that, according to the Demonly Torrent Tracker, 254,000 plus people were downloading the same torrent file at the same time. That's a new world record for a single torrent. Previous record was 200,000 people at a single file. That was, once again, Game of Thrones, and was sometime this season as well. So, breaking their own records. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Bieber is in the news again.
Oh, good. It's been a while.
Bieber. Is it Bieber? Justin Bieber.
Bieber.
All right. Justin Bieber.
In Germany, it would be because the I is pronounced first.
So. Oh, like Steen or Stein. Yeah. Right? Something like that.
Right. Exactly.
Justin Bieber.
Justin Bieber.
Yeah. Young teen pop sensation, Justin Bieber, cleared in a robbery, but the egging charge still stands. Justin Bieber is completely off the hook for an incident in L.A., which a woman accused him of trying to take her cell phone. Remember that?
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
This has decided to not be worthy of prosecution. Los Angeles prosecutors expected to soon charge Bieber, age 20, with vandalism, though, in a separate incident, the egging of his neighbor's mansion, a source involved in the case told CNN on Monday. My brother-in-law, they just moved into a house near us, kind of near us, and somebody egged their neighbor. Probably from their yard, so whoever lived there before.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and I said to him, I said, you better hope they know it wasn't you. Like, maybe you want to say something. Crazy.
It's a little suspicious. Came from your yard if they follow their trajectory.
Yeah, you guys probably eat eggs. I think it was you.
Trajectory.
This is according to a source close to CNN. The L.A. Los Angeles City Attorney decided Monday there was a, quote, lack of evidence to prosecute the singer for attempted robbery in connection with that phone at that miniature golf course thing. What's he doing? Mm-hmm. He's such a jackass. Don't go to miniature golf just to be a jackass. Because you know he's not there seriously trying to get his best game in, you know? He's going to miniature golf to be a jackass.
Right, of course.
Because he thinks it's hipstery to go to a miniature golf course. Because he's perpetually five. Anyway, there you go. That's what I want to say.
Somebody
about that
pointed out, like, do you think he's ever in the news in Canada, or do you think we do most of his publicity here?
That's a really good question. He's probably, I bet we do most of it here, to answer that question honestly. Yeah. Squarespace.com sponsoring the show for all your Justin Bieber fan site needs. Actually, nobody's doing that anymore. Go do something good. Do something cool.
Yeah.
Do something with video games.
More positive.
Yeah.
Right.
How about a photo? Like my daughter, she has a Squarespace account and she does her portfolio on there because she does a lot of photo gigs and gets asked to come and do photo shoots for weddings and birthdays and graduations and stuff like that. So she showcases her whole portfolio on there and it's really, really easy and simple.
Perfect.
She didn't have to program it. It looks like she did, but she didn't have to. She just threw stuff up there. And all the customization, all the templates, all the stuff you need. She can even sell prints there if she wants, because all those tools are also included. Go give it a free trial. If you like what you see, use the code MORNING at checkout for 10% off. That's at squarespace.com. Save some money. All right. Going to do it for that segment. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Wendy will be here. Therapy Thursday. We got some more stuff after that. Before all of that, though, Brian will now sing us a song. Oh, no, you're going to sing us a song. You're going to play us a song.
I'll play something today. Okay, I'll great. Give the listeners a break. Hey, spouse and betrothal. Whoa. Congratulations on hitting the 600 show mark with TMS, and may there be many more shows to come. I'm writing in to request a song for Thursday, June 19th. My best friend is getting married on the 21st, and I'm the best man at the wedding. We both listen to the show daily, as well as a few of the other Frog Pants podcasts, which have given us plenty of jokes to laugh about. The song for cover I would like to request is Daft Punk's Digital Love, covered by Noah and the Whale. It makes sense that I would say Jonah, right?
Right, what, Jonah and the Whale.
It would be awesome if you could squeeze this into a show sometime that week, even though this might be late notice. The request goes out as a great big congratulations. He wants you to shout that, but you probably don't have the energy.
I don't, I'll do man. It.
Congratulations!
Wow.
So I do the same thing, stepping away from the mic. Out to Amos and Erica from Brendan. It would mean a lot to both of us Michigan men. Show the bro love, Brendan.
All right.
So this is a recording that Noah and the Whale did for BBC Radio 1, the you know, one of those breakfast shows.
Right. They're famous over there. People love those.
I love them because it produces such great music. Digital Love, originally by Daft Punk, covered right here by Noah and the Whale.
All right. We'll be back in a minute. Everyone hang in there.
Everyone was having fun, the kind of feeling I've waited so long. Your kids are growing.
These are the romper room years.
Getting older. Every day they're learning something new.
At Romper Room, we make toys like Mickey Mouse's Magic Kingdom to help children get the most out of their romper room years.
These are the moments of now or never. The love that starts here will last forever. These are the romper room years.
He was a real nice Chinaman that Joe and I met over in China.
The morning stream. They sleeps in the raw with their ma and pa.
And we're back. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hello. Let's do that's a creepy romp room thing.
I know, a Chinaman that I met in China.
Ugh.
He was a real nice Chinaman that Joe and I met over in China.
A real nice Chinaman. That seems racially charged.
Redundant.
Hey, it's call Wendy now.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Why not? She's up at a. She's actually up at a hotel with my mom, my sisters, and my wife. They're celebrating. They gave my mom a getaway overnighter gift. Now they're all doing it. So
cool.
Well, I'm here in my misery.
Wow, you're all alone then.
I am today, yeah. Kids yeah. get home tonight, but
okay.
It's probably just as well. I need to just lay down and be miserable.
Yeah, you would just really depress everybody. Yeah. The rest of the family.
I don't, dude. It's probably true. They're sick of me and my crap.
Oh no.
All right. We'll give Wendy a call here, and we got some stuff to do today with her. A couple of things actually. Mm-hmm. One of them's just something we want to read.
Okay.
And the other thing is a helper deal. You know, we get to help somebody.
Help somebody, right? Yeah.
Helper deal. She shows us online. I talked to her last night.
All right.
My expectation is she'll be here, but you never know.
She's still Pardon using me. That portable Skype phoney thing.
Yeah, she was on her iPhone. Mm-hmm. So, assuming. Oh, you know, I didn't think about connectivity, but I assume she'll have. That's not bad. Park City's got good connectivity up there.
I would assume so, yeah.
Even LTE should be fine. But I'm not seeing her pick up. All right, while that's ringing, I'm going to read this email because it doesn't depend on
her
being here.
Doesn't pertain to her? Okay.
She got the email originally, but she wanted me to read it here. This is from Jeff in Salt Lake City, Utah. So Jeff wrote this. Said, I wanted to do something to honor my brother Mike this year and help others avoid the same situation that ended up with the loss of his life and another. For those who don't remember, 3 years ago today, my brother was killed in a car accident that also killed another and paralyzed one other person. There were things that were not preventable, but one of the main causes that led to the accident is preventable, and I just want everyone to make sure they get their tires checked. Those on your car and your spare. Tires can get old and degrade, so please make sure your tires are in good condition. Mike would have turned 21 on May 4th and just wanted to try and help prevent anyone else from dying from something preventable. So, on the anniversary of Mike's death, get your tires checked, man.
Yeah, for sure.
We do this every year. We go kind of hardcore on the tires. My wife's crazy about
it. That's smart. Yeah, it's something that you kind of disregard in terms of other kinds of car maintenance. Mm-hmm. You know, the oil change, the stuff like that.
Yeah, and, just kind of slips your mind.
You maybe
don't pay
attention to how much tread you've got.
Especially your spare. When do you think about your spare? You only think about it when you need it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So go check that thing. Make sure it's not all cracked or falling apart or whatever. Do you have a donut? What kind of spare do you have in that new car, that Soul? What kind of spare does it do?
It's actually pretty nice. A good size spare. Bigger than the usual little donut, but my Beetle has a donut.
Mm.
By the way, did I tell you that I did not trade in the Beetle?
No.
So I still have the Beetle. Well, they only wanted $1,000 for it.
Oh.
I'm like, yeah, no.
That seems like a jank.
Or they were only going to give me $1,000 for it. It's like, yeah, no, forget it. I'll keep it. I'll pay that much in cash instead of doing the trade-in. So it was because there was an airbag light on the dashboard that the guys up at my car place told me was a just needed the contacts cleaned. So I just picked up the car yesterday from my repair place. They cleaned the contacts. The airbag light is no longer lit. It's totally fine.
Hi. Hello. Oh.
Hello. Hi.
Hi. How's your connection up there?
Oh no.
It's real bad. Where are you?
Sound weird.
Well, that's not good. Hold on, I'm gonna try to pause everybody and unpause. Sometimes that makes things better. Yep. So here we go. Try that real fast. Okay. Wendy, you there? Hello?
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear us?
Yes. I'm heading to...
Yeah.
She must have mothership, apparently.
She must have a poop connection there. I wondered how that would be. Oh. I think LTE is okay up in Park City, last I checked. The last time I was up there, it was all right. Are you on Wi-Fi or LTE there, Wynn? Nope. Nothing. Oh, I knew this might be an issue. Darn it! All right, we're going to keep trying. Why not? Why not? Why not just burn a little podcast time on trying to figure stuff out? It's okay.
So, long story short, I'm selling the Beetle if anybody out there lives in the area and wants to buy a really nice 2003 Volkswagen new Beetle Turbo.
Look, if you are a fan who lives outside Arvada or Colorado entirely and you still want it, freight could be arranged, and just think, you could own the original cover mobile.
See, I don't want to sell it. I'm taking advantage of the fact that we've got a reach, but I'm not taking advantage of the fact that, you know, right. I'm an internet celebrity.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. Are you there, Wynn?
Yes. Can you hear me now?
Much better.
You sound great.
Yeah. I was in like a basement hallway.
Oh.
So that wasn't good.
Yeah. Basement hallways will block your phone. Now. That's true.
Yeah.
All right.
Sorry about
you're
that.
In Park City. Is it cold? I feel bad if you're out in the cold now.
No, it's beautiful, but it's, you know.
It's a little chilly. Cold, we're having weird June, strange June. That's for sure. Well, it's good to have you. How's everybody?
They had snow, like 3 inches up here.
Yeah, I know. What the heck? Is there still some there, or is it all melted? Uh-oh.
I know. No. I mean, high up, you can see a little bit.
Okay. Up on the mountains there. All right. Well, we're going to see how this works. We're going to see how your connection holds. It's a little fishy, but it's better than it was in the basement. So we are going to... I read that email already from Jeff. So we've warned the world to go get their damn tires checked.
Yeah, seriously.
And now we'll do like the real question. So if you're ready, here goes. You ready?
Uh-huh.
All right, here we go. Hello, Wendy and the Baconators. Very recently,
my favorite band.
Yeah, I know. They're great, right? Very recently, my wife gave birth to our beautiful baby boy. He's been a happy and healthy baby. And the biggest complaint we have is very little sleep. The reason I'm writing today is a continuing common question her and I have received is this. Quote, when are you having our second baby? Or when are you having your second baby? Where we find ourselves answering this their question with another question. What do you mean second baby? Backstory for both of us is my wife grew up with a 5-year-old younger half-sister and spent most of her life as the one and only. I have 4 siblings, and being by myself growing up was a small miracle. Is one and done so terrible? Is it psychologically damaging to grow up without siblings? Or is the focus on one child good for our son? Love to hear your input. Thanks for the great segment, CB. So, I always wonder about this a little bit. Mm-hmm. One kid. Like, Brian's a one-kidder. Yep.
I'm an only child myself. Brian. Tristan is an only child. Mm-hmm. I can speak to the fact that... I'm relatively well-adjusted, and
he seemed to do okay, whereas we grew up with 3 Koreans, 3 white kids, and dozens of miscarriages in our house.
Never being alone. Yeah, we got that.
Yeah, I never felt like anybody could ever be alone. Everybody was always everywhere. But I also feel relatively well-adjusted and not, you know, like there wasn't big detriment to us by having extra siblings or whatever. And I know families with 10 kids where it's a giant mess. And I know families with 10 kids where they're wonderful and every kid is treated equally and has equal time and everybody's great in those families. So it feels like one of these questions that it just sort of depends on the parents, depends on the situation,
totally
right?
Does. Yeah.
So what do you say, Wendy?
Yeah, I think so. Can you hear? Is it clear?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're good right now.
Yeah,
you're good.
Right. Just hate to go on when no one can hear it.
I know, it's the worst.
Okay, so I agree, absolutely. I think it varies. I think the research on it is interesting, but everyone will say the flaws in the research are that there's there's always those families that, you know, do it differently or whatnot. And there's always only children that are not fitting the stereotype of an only child or the stereotype of, you know, second child or whatever those kind of look like. And I really think the component is what you said. That is, it really is sort of how the parents deal with it. And I think something interesting is they're dealing with it now. Mm-hmm. They are sleep deprived with a small baby and they're getting asked when the next one is coming.
Yeah. Like that first is thing weird. On my list.
Yeah. It's yeah. always other. It's never. It never seems like it's the people who have the kid who are asking that question. It always seems like it's some relative, some grandparent or somebody else mm-hmm. who is saying, well, when are you bringing us more babies or whatever? Or if you're like my mother-in-law, you play a huge guilt trip on people for not having as many kids as they can possibly mm-hmm. have. And she'll say right. things like, I had this experience once
the
where
the world is going to run out of babies.
I held a child, a small niece on my knee once. I was holding the niece on my, holding my niece on my knee and she was crying. And I went, oh, she doesn't like me very much. And she goes, well, you know, why don't you? And I said, why? She goes, she's more freshly from where all the kids are waiting to come have parents and you're not having any more. So she's upset at you.
Oh my God.
Yeah. She actually said that to me. So
they've got your picture on the wall in the exit
yeah.
room.
Yeah, the right? exit, the green room before everybody gets here.
Right, exactly.
Your dad Beware is of the this one. Guy. So.
Yeah, I'm like three is a pretty good number to her. That's not enough. But anyway, whatever. Oh I mean, that's God. I guess that's part of the conversation is that you know, for Kim and I, three felt perfect. For others, four feels just right. For others, five does. For others, one does. For some, none does. For some, the two dogs they have is all.
Well,
they
I'll
ever
tell
want.
You, four feels like too many.
Yeah. Look, I was going to say, you've got four. How are you doing with four?
Yeah, I agree. Three would have been perfect. Mm. No, so let me say this. So that very beginning interaction, it might have started in pregnancy, which is people start saying stupid crap. They start asking things that are none of their business. And they start, it's like a social, like, moron thing that a lot of people have. It's like, I got to make some small chat and I don't know what to talk about. You have a baby. Whatever pops in my mind, I will say it, like, mm-hmm. whatever it is, you know?
Sure.
Without being really very thoughtful about it or realizing it has nothing to do with you. So how they handle that might be just kind of a beginning conversation. How do we handle when, because the reality is, depending on where you live in the, maybe in the country or sort of the people that you're around, they're going to have biases towards only children or they won't.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, you can live in a certain place and it would never come up.
Yeah. Like Brian, Brian, have you ever taken heat for just the one? Like had a grandparent
totally.
Get
yeah.
on your
like
case?
We got that same thing that they're describing all throughout, you know, Tristan's infancy. Oh, when are you guys having another one? Oh, is he going to get a little brother, a little sister? And Tina's like, no, this is it. Tina didn't have a great pregnancy, by the way. She had morning sickness the entire time she was pregnant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just constant throwing up, constant nausea. And
yeah, that's no good.
No. So
yeah. So
that
way,
was part of it. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the reason I say that is it seems so funny that I still got heat for only having three. Do you know what I mean? Like you got heat for only having one. I got heat for only having three. There got to be somebody someplace who has seven and someone's like, well, where's the eighth? You know, like at some point, who it's nobody's damn business, right?
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Completely. Yeah. But it doesn't mean they're not going to still ask you about it. So you have to, as a couple and as an individual, decide how you handle those responses. And you can come up with a good one and you can just reuse it, mm-hmm. which is, one is enough for us, and ha 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 if you want to be funny. Or, you know, none of your damn business might be an option. You know, whatever you decide as a couple.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
How to manage it. You know, the key is to remember it's about that. Sorry, are you there?
No, you're there. You're just lagged. You're fine. I think we hit a pocket of alien dust or something. You're fine. Keep going.
There's a pocket of freezing Park City air that just blew up. Anyway, that you get to decide how you respond, but you also have to remember it's about them. Mm. So any stranger, you're like, what? Who? What class did you go to that said it was cool to talk that way? Mm-hmm. You know, you just have to realize it's someone else's issue. So let's talk about what people's issues are with only children. Okay. And Brian, you can speak to this because you probably hear it.
Yeah.
But people, you know, part of that is You have all of your parental resources, money, time, energy, emotional, everything to give to one person, right? Mm-hmm. So the risk is that you overdo it.
Right.
And the risk is that that child just has so much spotlight that, you know, it could backfire. It could be a problem.
Right.
And anyone who's had more than one kid knows this, that you start to get divided. I mean, I am a fourplex walking around all the time. And I often think when I'm alone with one of my kids, they are so sweet and well-behaved and lovely human beings. And then they're turd balls when everyone's together. And it's because they're screaming for attention. And it's impossible. Yeah. And so what does that give people? It gives them, they learn to share and they learn to manage, you know, sibling kind of fighting and rivalry. A lot of that can be preparatory to, you know, kind of real life social skills and all that good stuff. But only children, and there's plenty of research to back this up, they are adultified much quicker because their playmates are adults or their just exposure is more towards adults. And also, they spend a lot of time alone. So they have some interesting research on extrovertism and introvertism with only children, because they're not one or the other typically, but they all have a value. And Brian, tell me if this is true or not. I just read this. I'm not sure it's true.
Yeah.
But a value on your alone time. It's really something you sort of treasure and need. Mm-hmm. Because it's something you experienced quite a bit more than, you know, living on top.
Is that true, Brian? Do you like
but
alone time?
At the same time, you can be just.
Yeah, it's totally true. Like I'll find myself, you know, that's why I don't mind if I'm going on vacation somewhere. Every once in a while, I don't mind going on a solo vacation. It's like a chance to kind of regroup, catch my thoughts, have that kind of solo experience that I had growing up. And I have no problem with that. Yeah. So that there is something to that for sure.
And yet you're an extrovert. You're an extrovert enough, right? I mean, so that's why they can't peg you guys down, because in sibling order and group, you know, being raised in a group, that sounds like an orphanage, but when you're raised with
in
siblings,
a cluster, right?
Oh, crap. That one's a bad one.
Yeah.
In a cluster.
All right, you're back.
Yeah, you tend to, you know, sort of play certain roles, learn certain skills. Oh, hi, sorry. You play certain roles. Yeah, you know that I can't stand still? That might be part of
the problem. That is probably part of it, but I do the same thing, so I totally get it. I totally get it. I totally understand.
Walk up. And there's... Anyway, sorry. Anyway, but you're, when you're with siblings, you tend to... Can you hear me?
Yeah, yeah. Yes. Oh, you're good.
Yep.
I am standing still now. I'm going to try.
Okay.
When you're with siblings, you know, there's lots of variation and personality development stuff that it's much easier to kind of pinpoint an introvert and an extrovert and why and some other stuff. They're looking at, you know, that in the research. But with an only child, they have a lot of alone time, which we would say, oh, that's a very introverted thing to do. But they also can be very extroverted. So, you know, it seems like kind of a nice balance, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's also another thing about teenagers. And isn't Tristan a teenager right now?
He is. Yeah. Oh, he's deep entrenched into 17-year-oldness.
Yeah.
Okay. So I last night I was like, I don't know what to say about only children. Yeah. So I'm reading a couple things and I found there's a book, and I can get it to you. I forgot to write it down, about raising adolescents as only children. That can be really helpful because there's like some very similar things that occur. So this family has a newborn and they're like, okay, it's a teenager. What are you talking about? But there's developmentally along the way, you're going to have certain things with only children that could be helpful to just know, to kind of prepare yourself. And that is, so they're so used to adults. They are more precocious language-wise. They're just a little more advanced because they've got a lot more focus on them. Mm-hmm. And they're interacting a lot more with adults than, you know, kids with a lot of siblings. Yeah. And as adolescents, when they're trying to pull away from their parents, they tend to be delayed in the pulling away. How old was Tristan when he started being a butt?
Well, there's been different shades of butt over the years growing up. Probably 14, 15.
That was kind of like sounds typical. Yeah.
Yeah. The starting of the acting up.
But
and
it's
the,
late.
So the know-it-all.
It's actually a little bit late. It's about 11, 12. 12 and 13, when kids have siblings, is when the pulling away tends to be a little more common.
Okay.
And it's so 14-15, yeah, is about right. And what it is, how they've explained it, is that they are pretty fused with their parents because their parents are their team, they're close. They spend a lot of time together, their identity is very connected. And what teenagehood is pushing away and sort of segmenting yourself from your parents so you can figure out who you are, right? That's the point. Mm-hmm. And when you've gotten given a lot of freedom to sort of talk and share your point of view and you're heard, all that stuff that comes from the only child, they don't have that happen until a little bit later, about 14, 15. Mm. And so you might be at 17 dealing with stuff that at 17, someone else has already gone through.
Right.
It's partly because your loyalty to your parents is being tested. All sorts of things are happening. So not to worry. It's still normal. It's just a little bit later. And it's a little tricky because, you know, one, a kid with a big family is differentiating himself from the whole family, his siblings and his parents. An only child, it's his parents.
It's just the parents. Yeah.
So it feels makes a little sense. More personal to me.
Go ahead, Brian.
So do we have to worry about him, you know, not leaving the house until he's 25 because of this delayed, delayed kind of clinginess, well, not clinginess, but the delayed disconnection, the delayed pulling away?
I don't think so. I think you have a better shot because it's just one person. You just lock the door.
Right.
No, I actually don't know.
He's out. Yeah. Stuff on the lawn,
I don't think
door
so.
Lock.
Kids. Because what happens? Oh, the other real benefit to the only child is it's sort of a bizarre guarantee that when he's an adult, he will be close to you again. That's not always a guarantee with multiple kids because, you know, it's again sort of reuniting with the family, which developmentally is normal. So it's pushing away, rebelling a little bit, and who am I really? And then eventually coming back to, you know, I always had these two cool parents I could talk to all the time and sort of a closeness. And you still are just two people concerned about your one kid. So you have the time and resources sort of to spend to connect, right? And then you can take your whole family to Disneyland when he has his one kid. And it's going to save you a lot of money.
Right. Well, that is one aspect that is really nice. Like going out to dinner and saying, hey, Tristan, join us for dinner. All right. It's only adding about, you know, 30, 40 bucks. No problem.
Yeah. Yeah, it adds up otherwise. Going to a movie can really tap you. I can tell you that much.
Daryl made sure that we wanted to bring up Len Peralta, kind of on the other end of the spectrum.
Yeah, so we got this artist buddy, Len, who lives in Cleveland, or near Cleveland, and has, is it eight kids now? I think it's eight.
Is it eight?
I think it's eight.
I thought it was seven. Wow.
And they range from 20 down to like a baby, I think.
Their names are Nicholas, Adam, Mary, Elizabeth.
I've lost them all. I don't remember any of them. But that is one of the most well-rounded, wonderful families I've ever had the pleasure of having some insight on. They are the nicest kids, and they're all on like this team effort seems to be always going on. They're all very creative. They have a band where a bunch of them are in the same band, and you know, all the kind of good stereotypes of a huge family.
TV show tropes, left and right.
Yeah,
totally.
They're totally living that life, and it's funny to watch because it's really, I think it's really, you know, pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. But one of these days, we won't make it today's show, but one of these episodes, we need to talk about I'm starting to wonder if there's something wrong with the way I'm doing things because it's another topic for another show, but I can't seem to get my kids to rebel very much. And I want to know if that's healthy or not.
Jeez.
I know that seems like, big problem, Scott,
white middle class problem.
But you know what I mean.
Well, every it builds that strength, that thing that they're going to need in their future life, is why you're
potentially, like you always talk about, like it prepares them for separating and for striking out on their own. But my kids don't really do that. Like they've never really been in any kind of big trouble. They don't do anything real stupid. They'd want to spend time with us. Like, I don't understand if maybe, you know, at first I thought, this is great. Isn't this great? Our kids don't want to rebel. But now I'm starting to wonder, well, does that make them unprepared for the harshness of life and reality? I don't know. I don't know. Well,
I would trade some of Tristan's rebelliousness. I'll give you some of that for some of the, the togetherness that I see coming from the Johnson camp.
All right, we'll swap around. We'll see what we can get. We'll get some kind of hybrid going. But anyway.
And, you know, I mean, it's actually more and more common. It is, you're not alone. There's a, you know, because you like cool music. And it's sort of like the globalization of parenting. Like, you now, you are way cooler. And you know the internet, which is their playground, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
One of the things that can happen, and I know that's true for you, Brian, too, but what can happen is that if they can't figure out how to hang out in the neighborhood on the street because they're overprotected, then the internet becomes the new place to explore who they are, right? And your kids really don't have that either, Scott, because you could hunt them down.
Yeah, that's true, because I know how. I know what they're doing and where they'd go. And they're also, you know, they've spent 2 weeks living in a cramped, crappy apartment downtown, going to a summer programming camp thing up at the university. And they've got, you know, they're autonomous as heck when they go to camps and other things. They're never homesick. They just go. They're great. They don't have any problems. So it's not even like a thing where I feel like we're being too protective. It's just I can't get them to be jerky. Like, they don't seem to have it in them to go, I hate you, Dad, and then run out of the house. You know, I love him, Dad. None of this ever happens. Like, all these stereotypes. Like, there's some tattooed up jerk face kid that she's dating. No, not once have my kids ever gone, I don't care what you say. You don't understand. We love each other. Like, I've never had that conversation. You know, Nick's 14, so, hey, we've got some time left. But but he's a sweet kid. I don't know. I feel, sometimes I wonder if they're going to be too nice and the world's going to just spin them out. Like, you know,
they might be the ones living in your basement till they're 30.
Well, see, I mean, the oldest we worried about, I mean, that's honestly, that was a worry, but the oldest couldn't wait to be 18 and strike out. She was stoked, but not because she couldn't wait to get away from us. It was never that. It was just, I want to get my own apartment. It's going to be like this. I'm going to have roommates. I'm going to do these things. I'm going to go to school. I'm going to have a job. Like, she was so excited for that stage of her life. And the other two seem to be, Carter keeps talking about it like it's, she can't wait. But it's not because she can't wait to get away from us. It's weird. It's a really weird deal. And I'm not here complaining about things going great. What?
No. But for the rest of us, it sounds like that. So what you need to do is shut up about it.
I realize that.
Just enjoy it.
I'm not trying to be an ass, but you know me in that I try to. If I have this thing where if things are going well, I start to question why it's going well. Do you know what I'm saying?
Just waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Yeah,
kind of
yeah,
yeah,
yeah. It seems like it's a little too I'm like
excited.
a little uncanny valley starts to come out of the whole thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's on me, and that's just one of my dumb things.
Yeah,
but
it feels a little too good.
Yeah. Anyway. So.
Yeah, you just enjoy it.
So back to the point. Don't let people. Yeah.
So this couple. Here's my final advice for them. If they want one child and they've made that decision, then figure out the words you use to tell people, because it's going to happen. Family members, maybe even sit down and say, "Here's the deal. We know you wish we had a bunch of kids. Feel free to have your judgments on our whole lives." Because you know what happens is when Tristan rebels, grandparents are like, "Well, it's because he's an only child."
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to carry their bias no matter what. You have to decide what you're doing for what reasons. And, you know, but also maybe, I mean, they think, trust me, every time I've had one baby, I thought, I will never do this again. And I get over that somehow. And I feel like, okay, I think we should have another one. The fourth one was really a mistake, but you sort of.
No offense, Peter. I hope you're not hearing this in the future, but yeah. Sheesh.
He is adorable, by the way. If he were my only child, wow. But no, he's not. He's loud. Anyway, but my point is they're feeling that now while they're sleep deprived. And I tell everyone, if you're really angry and you wrote an email, wait 24 hours before you send it, because the person 24 hours later is a different person.
Mm-hmm.
And then you are a different person. And when you have a baby, you should not make any financial decisions. You should not make any decisions that matter because you're sleep deprived and dangerous. You shouldn't even operate a vehicle, probably.
Yeah.
So wait until you're sleeping through the night like a normal human again. And then you can say, you know what? Still feel that way. One kid, that's it.
Yeah.
Great. Then come up with how you're going to talk about this to everybody and stand your ground, make it clear, be nice about it. But just be prepared, because there is a bias in our culture about having one kid. And then there's some serious benefits to that kid. There is. There's benefits to having siblings. It's, you know, it really matters how you're going to handle it. So I feel like this is a good beginning thing for them to kind of figure out how they work as a couple around this topic. Did you have this, Brian, where you sort of had to figure out together how you talked about it? Because you knew this. You could sense this coming, that people were critical.
Yeah, although it I think it did kind of take us by surprise that, you know, here we are with a newborn and we're getting asked the question. I mean, you know, it's funny. None of Tina's close family, like parents or my parents or anybody, asked that question because they knew what kind of pregnancy she just got through. So it was more like our outside circle, friends, things like that. And really, once Tina said, yeah, I had a really difficult pregnancy, I don't think we're having another one. And people actually were pretty easy going after that point. It never got asked again.
And that is a reasonable thing to say.
Yeah. And that's a good,
unless your mother-in-law is my mother-in-law. and she would have said, our trials just make us stronger.
Oh, of course. Right. Exactly.
Just big,
by the way,
big goops of guilt just laid at your feet. Yes, Wendy.
I went to Scott's, a little family party on Kim's side of the family.
Yeah.
And that was so fun to watch.
I'll bet.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I could have written a little book.
Yeah, it's amazing, Kim. You understand why Kim in that family dynamic, and Kim has never harmed a thing in her life. She's never drank an ounce of alcohol. She's never rebelled in the way that we think of rebelling. But Kim is considered the rebellious one in the family. She's considered the black sheep. So you only can see that possibly even being true in contrast to how that family dynamic is. And then you go, oh, yeah, I see how Kim is different than this. Because she's nothing like that. She has none of that judgment in her. She has none of that stuff. And I love those people. But it's getting to be kind of comedic at some point, you know? Like, I just have to laugh at it and go, all right, whatever.
There was a moment. Let me just tell you. So Vivint is a company here you're familiar with.
Yeah, Vivint.
And your brother-in-law had a Vivint t-shirt on. And it's kind of a dude fest over there. Mm-hmm. Like, I think they grunt in meetings and stuff. Anyway, that's just what I've heard. And he had a Vivint t-shirt on.
Oh, no.
And he comes over and he's got those webbed shoes. Yeah, totally. Ooh. He's wearing those webbed. And he seems like a strong enough guy, but he doesn't look, he doesn't look super fit. Like, you really need to wear this to the family picnic.
Yeah.
And he comes over and there's an old hornet's nest in the play set.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, that could be, you know, there's no hornets. It's dead. And he's like, oh, well, okay. Well, he walks up, he climbs up into this thing, takes his fist and punches
the hornet's nest.
The hornet's nest. And then he like walks away, like strutting. And I was like, did I just see a cartoon? Like, what just happened?
I was there for that too. And he punched the hornet's nest. It was pretty insane.
Hornet's nest in the face.
Yeah. Wearing those web shoes that are now bad for your feet. Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, it was so funny.
Oh, we keep losing you again. Dang it. Stupid phone.
Anytime you want me to come, I'm happy to go to your family dinner.
Yeah, don't worry. There will be plenty of opportunities. So if we find a chance to get them all together again and let you just observe, I'll let you know. Well, good stuff. Take this to heart, CB. We hope the best for you. Congratulations on the newborn, by the way. And the sleep thing does get better. I can promise you that part. Or I shouldn't promise because maybe it won't. But for us, it did. We would like to hear back on how things go. And don't let people bully you into doing things you don't want to do. Wendy, it's always a pleasure. Have fun in Park City. Say hi to Mom. Is she having a good time?
Thank you.
Oh.
She is. I had to share a bed with her last night.
Ooh,
wow.
Ooh.
I'm just going to say I would rather sleep with my 5-year-old who kicks and moves and pees the bed. So anyway.
All right. Well, Mom will not hear this episode.
She will not. It was a rough night. Anyway. It was fun.
All right. Well, have fun. And thanks for bearing the cold and the bad internet. And we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah. Sorry.
No, you're fine. It's not your fault. All right.
Totally
see
fine, yeah.
All right. Boom. Whoops. I just called her by accident. There we go. Okay. Yeah, bad call connection or not, good call today. Good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, for sure.
TweakedAudio.com sponsored today's program. Did you know it? Well, I'll tell you, they sponsored it. They were behind it all the way. And as usual, they want to save you some money. You've been on the fence for a while. You've been hearing us talk about it, but you're kind of like, oh, I'm just going to skip this commercial because they're not for me. But now you're like, I need some earbuds. I need something. I need the over-ear ones. I need the inside-ear ones. I need something. Go there. Use the code STREAM at checkout. 33% off. That's a third off the price. Anybody can do that math. Come on now. Noise reduction. Lifetime warranty. Engineering. Designed to sound great with music and talk. Go check them out now. TweakedAudio.com and the code STREAM. All right, a couple of quick emails here, and they're brought to you by
Coverville, where on yesterday's episode, you heard the amazing combination of the Kinks and Lionel Richie. Yes, you'll come
what?
Dancing.
Holy
you'll come dancing,
crap, dude.
And you'll be dancing on the ceiling.
Wow.
All night long, all day, and all of the night.
I wasn't prepared for that.
No, and it was a great combo, though. I mean, when you work with covers, you find a great equalizer because, I mean, there's the electronic dancey covers of both bands. There's the acoustic indie folk singer covers of both bands. So there's as different as the artists may seem, there was a lot of not overlap, but a lot of consistency to the show. And I'd love to toot my own horn, you know that.
Yeah.
Toot my own horn.
Yeah.
But I think it turned out to be a really, really good show.
All right.
Really, really happy with that. I love the Kinks. So.
I was planning on listening today, in fact, while I get some work done.
Listen today and let me know what you think.
Yeah, I will. That's Coverville.com, everybody. Subscribe today.
Exactly what it is.
Dear Scott, says Derek, you be nice to sweet old Roy. He's talking about Roy Dotrice, who has screwed up the voices in the Game of Thrones books.
Oh, gotcha, okay.
It does not matter if he is old and sometimes forgets which voice in which it goes with which character. If you talk bad about Roy again, I will find you. Oh, yeah, I'll find you and lick you right in the calf. Best wishes, Derek. He's talking about that dog the other day.
Right. And then Daenerys Targaryen led the council by saying, oh, look, it's Rob Stark. Hello, Rob Stark. How are you?
Oh, it's good to see you. nice to be here.
That's exactly it, dude. It's here, all pirate talk.
Meet my little sister, Arya. Hello, I'm Arya Stark.
Yeah, it's weird. Everyone's a pirate. I don't understand why.
That's funny.
Roy,
then I don't want to be a pirate.
I'll tell you what we're going to do here.
Okay. Do you have some? Do you have some queued up?
We're going to do Feast for Crows, Roy Dotrice. Mm-hmm. Okay, here he is. Let's just hear him do it. Maybe we can get a vocalization out of this.
The Reaver. The drums were pounding out a battle beat as the Iron Victory swept forward, her ram cutting through the choppy green waters.
All right, now those are cool. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds cool great when he's just reading, right?
Spoiler.
And he's in his 90s, but yeah, I know, right? But then, here, let's get to a voice.
The smallest ship ahead was
skip ahead.
Leap from hill to hill, and I died.
Hold on.
The Iron Victory's new lands would not be a...
Jeez.
No harm came of our sin. No bastard. No, bastards are seldom made.
Great, I picked the one chapter where he's doing a good job. Damn
right.
It. I can't. No, whatever. Doesn't matter.
Can't you hear at the beginning of each chapter who the character is, the focus is?
Yeah, that's true. How about this
and
one?
And find a
Brain.
Brain. Oh, she's a good one.
Brain. Wait.
Wild Hunt.
Yeah.
There's another character whose name begins with B R and ends with N.
This is supposed to be Brienne. It's supposed to be Brienne, who's
Brienne, the
big
okay.
tall lady, and he does that voice. He's changed that name like three times. I've heard him say it different every time.
Who insisted Brienne. That they take the heads?
Okay, here we go.
Tarly will want them for the walls. He said,
"Is one of them."
We have no tar.
Here she is.
Brienne pointed out, "The flesh will rot. Leave them."
It's just a hello. What's going on?
Brienne.
Anyway. let's see. Moving on to South Bend, Indiana's own Dave Kempfer.
Okay.
Says all the outrage about GIF versus JIF can be summed up through a few basic words. When G is followed by a consonant, as in graphic or glacier, it has a hard G sound. When it is followed by with a vowel, especially I, it has a soft G sound. Well, you said hard G, now soft G. As in giraffe or generic. You can always find exceptions. Gas is hard G followed by a vowel, but this is generally soft G followed by a vowel again. True. But if we are pronouncing GIF as a word, G-I-F, it would be pronounced GIF, he says. Also, the creator of the initialism, acronym for you, Scott, said it was GIF. GIF.
Yeah.
This doesn't mean you have to stop yelling about it, just that you have, let's see, now you have some ammo that is accurate for your hate of peanut butter-based internet slang. I don't know what that means. Dave.
Well,
so
allow me to giggle at this gimp who graced us with this gift of...
right. There's many examples.
Of gab.
Right. Look at all your... Look at all those... All those...
all those GI. Yeah.
Those vowels. Yeah.
G's followed by an I. Giggle. Gigabyte. Gift.
Gift. Giver.
Right.
Give. Goat. Yeah. Goat is a vowel. Oh. It's not a jote.
Somebody,
Gichigumi. Somebody cook that jote and let's have jote meat. Milk the jote. Nobody does that. I'm telling you, man. I don't care if the beginner, the guy who came up with this in the first place, thinks it's Jeff. He's smoking crack.
I bet we could come up with more hard G's in front of I's than soft ones. I mean, giraffe is an example. What's another G I that's J?
Jimbery.
No, that's a Y.
Oh, right. How about just Jim? Yeah. Well, that's also a Y.
That's also a Y. Ginger. Yeah. Okay.
Ginger. Okay. Ginger is one.
Gin.
Gin. Giant.
Right. That's good.
Gigantic.
Okay.
There's a few.
I still think there are probably
there
more.
There are more of the others, though. You're right.
I think so. Gimbal.
It's a GIF. It's a GIF.
Girl. Yeah, good. Good example.
Speaking of J names, Jan wrote in.
Oh.
She says, hello.
It's not Jan.
She says, hello, gents. Oh, actually, gents. Gentlemen.
Gents,
crap.
Right?
All right, there's one in their favor again. Anyway.
That's G-E.
Oh, that's, yeah, well, it's still a vowel, though, which is his point. Anyway.
Well, he said especially I.
Yeah, well, that's true. We're going to focus on the I's. Hi, gents. I am usually an episode or two behind, so I'm chuckling over the dog licking and car buying PM episode today. This was last week. So sorry if it's already been addressed. You described the Daily Telegraph as a tabloid. It isn't, which makes it rubbish headline. It's rubbish headline on the indestructible H. Ford Esquire worse. It's very much a broadsheet with a rep for being so staid, its readers wear three-piece pajamas. It makes the Times look racy. They've let down their parents, their school, their country, their regiment, their royal family. They should be ashamed of themselves. So the crap reporting was even worse, and you should be even more outraged than you were. Regards. So what it sounds like is even reputable, historically reputable sources of news in the UK have gone the way of crap.
Right. And in terms of tabloid, it's tabloid in newspaper shape alone, as opposed to broadsheet.
Correct.
Like you've got the tabloid papers that are more vertical, and then you've got your broadsheets that are more horizontal.
Yeah, people forget it was started as a format, right? And then it just became a synonymous, yeah. Right, with being crappy.
Like the New York Post is a tabloid in both senses of the word.
Yeah, it's jackasses. let's get out of here. That's emails. If you want to send your own, you can. themorningstream@gmail.com. That's themorningstream@gmail.com. I'm going to thank some folks I don't always thank. I want to thank Scott Fletcher for our voice work, Alpha Geek Radio for the Shoutcast mobile stream, which a lot of you use, and that's awesome. And do support them. Go to alphageekradio.com for more great shows and a schedule of what they have on all the time, both live and archive. Frogpants.com/TMS is our website. Email us, themorningstream@gmail.com. On Twitter, morningstream, Scott Johnson and Coverville. Big thanks to Daryl, Wendy, and everyone who comes on the show. Didn't get much feedback about black people being afraid of lizards.
Oh.
And snakes, and I don't know
and
why.
And we didn't hear from any car dealers, right?
No. Nope.
About me calling out the industry as being 20 years behind the times.
None. So I'm real curious about that, and I don't know why.
They haven't gotten to this episode on the creative jukebox yet.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And their brown Zune. Nobody squirted this episode to them in their brown Zune.
Indeed. And another quick note, just to remind people that it is very nice of people to say nice things about me. For, you know, this stupid condition is very embarrassing and lame, and I hate it. Mm-hmm. But you guys have all been very genuine and nice, and I try not to talk about it too much because I don't want to be, I don't know. Again, if it was my knee, I'd talk about it all the time.
Right.
Because it's my freaking butt. I don't want to talk about it, you know, because it's embarrassing. It sucks.
My butt.
So I just want everyone to know, though, I really do appreciate the nice thoughts yesterday that people were sending on Twitter and other forms of communicado. All right, Brian, let's get out of here with a song. Do you have something nice for me?
For you,
oh,
yes.
One more thing. New TMS PM tonight, unless, you know, all things willing, should be at 5:30 p.m. Mountain Time. And we'll be here with another show because of your support at patreon.com/TMS, where you can go and throw a little money behind us. It helps us out a great deal. So we'll watch for that later on the feed today.
And we talked a little bit about, you know, doing a sample game show episode or sample game show. Mm-hmm. That is still in the works. Of course, it's coming after Nerdtacular.
Yeah. Nerdtacular just kills us. So all those extra things, they're coming.
It really does. I think I bit off more than I could chew with all the stuff I'm doing.
Yeah, I know.
Well, it's just all this freelance, too, that all landed in the same deadline as everything else. So yeah.
We'll work it through.
It's happening. It's happening.
We'll get it, yeah.
Anyway. Oh, Cleo. We doing Cleo?
Oh, shite. Cleo. Hold on.
Yeah. Cleo.
Look at the chat room freaking out.
I know.
I forgot.
Wall of green. Because
it feels
Cleo's
like
name
Wednesday, and that's why.
Yeah, sure.
All right. Let's get her in here real quick here. Okay. I'm calling her now. And it will happen. Here it goes. Here it comes. Cleo, how you doing? Cleo. Earth calling Cleo. She's there.
I'm in, Cleo.
Turn that microphone on.
Mork calling Cleo.
I kind of got in the mood for that the other day, and I couldn't find it streaming anywhere.
Mork and Mindy not streaming anywhere?
No. I did start watching, I watched an episode of NYPD Blue.
Their house is still right up there in Boulder.
Hello, Cleo.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Ooh, you're on a...
If I got to follow one more story about your butt, you and I are going to have a talk.
All right. I'll do my best.
Cool.
So Cleo comes to us with a summation, if you will, of the week's proceedings, the funny things that happened. And Cleo, take it away.
So here's what happened. I woke up this morning, and of course now every phone in the house is going to ring and every child's going to scream. Awesome.
Great.
This is why you don't have more than one child.
That's
right here.
This,
what's going on right here is the summation of what's bad about it.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to blast right through all of them, ignore them. I woke up this morning, turned on my computer, and quickly deleted the entire file for this week. So I thought we'd do a throwback Thursday.
Oh, wow. All right.
Because what I did is I keep all of this stuff in my computer. I have a big old file of all the things that have been happening in terms of points. And I thought, okay, Eden, I love you, but I'm turning off the monitor. Holy crap. Just going to silence the disabled kid. We're just going to do that. Okay. We're going to put her on silent. There we go.
Silence the disabled kid. Perfect.
Silence the disabled kid. Okay. So throwback Thursday. Here we go. You ready?
Yep. Ready. Go.
It's going to make no sense. It's going to be great. At some point in mid-January, you read a story about a kid down in a well in the South. And this is going to be kind of a Tadpool Collective throwback Thursday.
All right.
The Tadpool collectively agreed that this is probably a track and field event somewhere down there.
All right.
So they came up with some famous last words that have probably been spoken just before the varsity well jumping event.
Okay. All right.
They came up with, hey, y'all, watch this. They also came up with, hold my Bud Light.
Okay.
And somebody also came up with, if Bo and Luke Duke can jump it, so can I.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same with Lance and Vance.
Yeah.
In February, we had a brainstorm on some of Steven Seagal's attributes. Most of them were he runs like a girl.
Mm.
And his eyes are almost corrugated, similar to aluminum siding, which, like his acting, is kind of flat and doesn't cost very much.
Aww.
That was nice.
Nice.
Well played.
Yeah, good one.
Speaking of eyes, we talk about Scott's vision a lot here on the show, and while some think it's just a convenient excuse to cover up a literacy problem, we've also used it as a source for many of a point. So, for instance, some have suggested that Scott's eyes were made by tweaked audio because they seem to work pretty good for about a year before it's time for an upgrade.
Oh, man.
And just before Scott's most recent surgery, the Tadpool wanted to make you a mixtape to help you relax, you know, while you're in there having the Dyson slice. So some of the suggestions from this fine, upstanding group of fans were Double Vision by Foreigner.
Oh, nice.
Eyes Without a Face by Billy Idol, and a cover medley from Brian by Third Eye Blind, Stevie Wonder, and Blind Melon.
Oh, man. That's about right.
Yes, and the winner for Throwback Thursday, because Carrie deleted all this week's good shit, is Ironic Name for bringing a penis-related photoshopped photo of you guys to the chat room for every week since October of last year.
Oh my gosh, that is a streak, man.
It is.
How long can he? Now he's got to really hold
out. That's right.
Yeah,
now he's got to up his game.
All right. Well, I enjoyed this. This has been fine. Deletion or not, it was a good time. Cleo, have fun with the chaos that is your life today.
Good time.
And let's talk real soon, all right?
I'll talk to you next week, and then I will talk to you the following Tuesday afternoon.
Weird.
Yeah.
Weird.
Good stuff.
All right, we'll
see
you later. Okay. Not that weird.
I mean, Tuesday afternoon. I think Wednesday afternoon.
Well, she's coming in early. So she'll be here for Nerdtacular on that Tuesday.
Yeah, but Les is picking her up, and he's not driving in the Denver caravan until Wednesday. So there's one of those things will change, and it's probably the caravan.
Yeah, y'all all hook up. get your poop straight, because I ain't worrying about it. All right, hey, look at this. We're done now.
We're doing a big Casa Bonita dining experience, too, the night before the drive, which is a really, really smart idea.
Yeah, it seems like a terrible idea. Mm-hmm. Driving around with bad fajitas in your guts.
Fajitas, if you're lucky.
Yeah, if you're lucky. All right, well, that'll do it for us then. Let's get out of here with some music. What do you got for us?
Okay, well, I've got a couple, a request, and then another email that I just wanted to throw a happy birthday out to Chris. Chris is a 3D designer and does three-dimensional models, and he's turning 15 on June 21st, which is Saturday. So happy birthday, happy 15th birthday to Chris Peake.
Yeah.
Doing some really, really cool stuff. He sent me a photo of one of the things he creates in 3D, and it's really, really cool. I get a 3D printer coming, so I'm going to be hitting Chris up for some ideas.
Nice.
But anyway, so this birthday request is also going to be going out to Chris. The email that I'm going to be reading from, Dear Snip and Biopsy, on June 19th, I'll be having a tonsillectomy.
Jeez.
It would make my day if you could play a cover to help send me under the knife if I didn't find y'all until the first of this year. Or I'm sorry, I didn't find y'all until the first of this year, but I haven't missed an episode since my discovery. My job keeps me from being able to get in the tadpool live, so I'm excited my recovery will allow me to listen live. To show I'm in good spirits, I would like Brian to play a cover of Another One Bites the Dust. Thanks for all you do. Lots of froyo, Luke or Stathis Guy in the tadpool.
Nice. Welcome, January man. It's good to have you.
Yeah. Nice. All right. So, yes, this is a cover of Another One Bites the Dust, of course, by Queen. This one is performed by Jingo from a great CD called Rock and Rave. This was a mix CD, a bunch of covers of different artists, but it's all one solid, continuous piece of music, and it all sounds like this, and it's all fantastic. It's called Rock and Rave. It came out in 2009. A really cool black and red cover if you search for this on iTunes. It's worth picking up. It really, really is good. All right, so this is going out to Chris and to Luke. So
there you go.
Another one bites the dust.
All right, let's play it. Another episode bites the dust. We're out of here. We'll see you tonight for another TMS PM. And a quick note that if you are looking for the first 200 episodes of TMS, they are available at frogpants.com/TMS. All of them. It's just a separate feed. Keeps the other one from being too overloaded with 600 plus episodes. So we will always have the previous 200 episodes or more than that. Like we have 200 in the main feed, and then every time we go over 200, they're dropped into the other feed. So all of, I guess that's closer to like 400 episodes in that thing. So if you're looking for it all, you can subscribe to that as well. Just throw it in your players or your catchers or whatever you're using. All right, that's it. Here it is. Another One Bites the Dust. We'll see you guys tonight.
Machine guns ready to go. Are you ready? Are you ready for this? You're young and on the edge of the sea. That gave me goose pimples right there.